you'll want to turn to the book of Jeremiah, which is where we'll be tonight, as we continue our series in looking at evangelism lessons taken from the Old Testament. And there's just a lot to learn from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a really impressive book, and there may be a second lesson in this series. I won't guarantee that, but there might be. We may not always appreciate that Jeremiah is really one of the most significant significant characters in the Old Testament. One way of measuring that is it's been told that it's the longest book in the Old Testament. I'm not sure how it and Psalms compare exactly, but it's really big. Jeremiah is big, and it's not just big because it's full of his preaching and his teaching like you might see in Isaiah or Ezekiel. It's very personal. What we get to see in the book of Jeremiah is him as a person, his thinking, and more than just his thinking, his growth. We see his heart, and we see him change over time. And so Jeremiah becomes, up there with David and Moses, one of the people in the Old Testament that we really get to see the most, see the clearest. And that becomes really encouraging for us. Just when we see people growing spiritually, that encourages us. We see that in Jeremiah. And we really see him grow as an evangelist. We'll see his attitude mature and grow, and we get to see that in his life. Specifically, we even see him growing in his faith, his relationship with God, his zeal for God. And there's just a lot to learn from him in this book. So we're going to jump in and look at some things in the first 20 chapters of the book of Jeremiah. And really, the lesson's going to be simple. We'll just try to read through some texts and have some comments on them, and then keep moving forward. And I think the lesson will be plain for us. Two things, really, that I want us to be focusing on, kind of our attention be in these passages. Number one, we see Jeremiah is willing to grow. He's really willing to be used by God, and he is willing to be changed by God. God's really able to mold him, to strengthen him, and help him. And that's a great example for us. We're going to see that in Jeremiah. And number two, we see his willingness to be disliked. We see his willingness to say things that are difficult to say. He's going to preach a lot of things that are entirely, totally unpopular in his day, and that makes him be hated, really. He's disliked, he feels isolated, and he suffers reproach for God. We may not use that terminology every day. We might say things like he's willing to be embarrassed for God, willing to feel shame on God's behalf as a preacher of God's message. So he's willing to suffer that. And really, when you think about it, this is really just one point. And you can kind of isolate that if you want to, his willingness to grow and then his willingness to suffer for God. But you know, those two things really are going to have to go together. If something's easy to do, then why do you need to grow to do it? You know, you don't need additional spiritual strength to, you know, put your shoes on or some everyday task. It's because it's difficult. It's because it's hard spiritually that he has to grow into that. And we're just going to see, Jeremiah going through those things. And so that's really the one point that we're going to see as we go through Jeremiah growing and changing as he suffers as an evangelist. Well, we're going to start here at the beginning of the book. Read with me in Jeremiah chapter 1. Read verses 4 through 8. This is the call of Jeremiah. This is the presumably the first time God speaks to him and sets him apart to be a prophet. So Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Now, this is the verses that Dwayne referenced this morning in speaking of the biblical perspective on children who have not yet been born. Because you see in verse 5, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God had kind of chosen him. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And so you see God there, but basically saying, Jeremiah, I've chosen you. Before you knew me, I certainly knew you. And I've chosen you to be a prophet for me, to Israel, to the nations. And that's what he appointed Jeremiah to do. Now, Jeremiah, he's not particularly keen on this idea. Verse 6 says, Lord, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. So Jeremiah, I think, is likely maybe a teenager in these days. He's young. And we talked about this kind of thing in the Daniel class this morning, about young people being called to do what is right. But God says it doesn't matter that you're young. He says in verse 7, for to all to whom I send you, you'll go, and whatever I command you, you'll speak. And that's the call, of course, for all people of all time, is whatever God commands us to say, we need to speak that. It says, Jeremiah, don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid of them. I will be with you to deliver you. So here at the beginning, it's kind of this illusion. This is going to be a difficult process. It's going to be extremely difficult for Jeremiah, but it's going to be unpopular. You know, don't be afraid of them. He's going to be tempted to be afraid of them, that's for sure. But don't be afraid of them, because I will be with you. I'll be with you to deliver you. God is going to be with him and take care of Jeremiah. Well, look at how the chapter ends. This is kind of a part of the intro again as well. And he says here in verse 17, but you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. So it tells Jeremiah, get ready for work, get up, dress yourself for work, and say to them everything that I command you. So that's the instructions. He needs to speak everything that God gives him to speak. He says, I'm going to make you strong. You notice that great imagery here in verse 18, where he says, I make you a fortified city, I make you an iron pillar, bronze wall. That's strong. You know, a city with walls, make you bronze walls, an iron pillar, pictures of strength. And I don't think that's just a picture of God physically taking care of him. You know, I'm going to make you indestructible like bronze walls. I really think ultimately it's a picture of making him spiritually strong. He'll be able to withstand this. He'll be stronger than them in his spirit, in his resolve, and things like that. And verse 19, it says, they will fight against you. And we'll see that, that they're going to fight against Jeremiah. But he says they're not going to win. And what we see here is kind of God's promise that they're not going to prevail against him. And we see that in this book, is that the enemies of Jeremiah don't get him. Now, we don't know how the end of Jeremiah's life looks. It's interesting, the book ends, to kind of give it away, he gets carried off into Egypt, and we're not told what happens to him there. You know, we know about Samuel's death, we know about Elijah, we know about Elisha. Here with Jeremiah, it doesn't tell us what happens to him at the end of his life. But he survives a lot. He survives everything through the captivity. And when so many people died or carried off, Jeremiah survives and is granted his life in that way. So God keeps his promise that he takes care of Jeremiah through these things, and that they do not prevail against him. So this introduces the ministry of Jeremiah, and you start seeing lessons of his in chapter 2 and into 3, and it keeps going, interactions between Jeremiah and God about these things. But let's look at a sample of his sermon, probably his most famous sermon, in chapter 7. And this is where God tells Jeremiah to go to the temple and stand there as people are going to the temple and preach this message. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you've not known? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we're delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations. And so here you see the strong message that Jeremiah is being called to preach. He stands there as people are going into the temple, and he says to them in verse 3, amend your ways. God says, amend your ways, and I will let you dwell in this place. What's he implying? If you change, I'll let you stay here. The implication is, if you don't, you're going. You know, that God's going to carry you out of this land. And he says, don't trust in these words. This is the temple of the Lord. You know, hey, God's here. This is his temple. We're here with the temple. The temple's great. We're here with the temple. Don't trust that. He says, you got to change. You've got to repent. If you truly amend your ways, then I'll let you dwell in this place. Verse 8, you trust in deceptive words, because there were lots of false prophets saying, you guys are great. Everything's fine. You know, he says, don't trust in those false prophets. You got to repent. You've got to change. And ultimately, most of the people do trust in the false prophets. And then you're going to sin, commit murder, steal, adultery, make offerings to Baal, and then come before me in this house and say, we're delivered because we're worshiping the Lord. That's not going to work. God says, you have to change your ways. So we get this sample of the temple sermon. We see these strong words that he is preaching to the people. You'll notice that he's preaching repentance to them. You've got to change. It's not okay to stay with what you're doing. You need to change your ways. And he's also preaching the coming judgment. And he's saying to them, there's a judgment coming. Of course, there's so many parallels with this with us today. And so many parallels with what Jesus would preach. And he spoke of the judgment that was coming. So telling people, you can't stay the way you are. You've got to change. There's a coming judgment. Beware of that. You've got to change because of that. Well, look at verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 27. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. Cut off your hair and cast it away. Raise a lamentation on the bare heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. And so you see here God saying, speak these words, but Jeremiah, they're not going to listen. That's what he told Isaiah. They're not going to listen. But Jeremiah is told, you've got to keep preaching. You've got to keep saying these words. And so that's the call of Jeremiah. So we get the kind of the sample of some of his preaching message here. Well, look at chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 18 through 23. Here's kind of another scene of the book. This is a well-known scene. In Jeremiah, at least maybe one of the more well-known scenes here. And look at what's going on here. Kind of see if you can put together the story from what Jeremiah says here. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 18. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me they devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, and say, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and none of them shall be left, for I will bring disaster upon the men of Anathoth, the year of their punishment. Okay, do you see what's going on here with Jeremiah? Verse 18 says, the Lord made it known to me. I made it known. Then you showed me their deeds. I was led like a lamb to the slaughter. I didn't know that they were devising schemes against me. Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Verse 20, Jeremiah says, "You, Lord, who judges righteously, you test the mind and the heart. Let me see your vengeance." What happened? Well, people were trying to kill Jeremiah. Jeremiah found out about it. He's rescued. He's not killed. Who was it? Verse 21, "Thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth who seek your life." Now, we didn't read those verses, but from chapter 1, Jeremiah is from Anathoth. So these are people from his own hometown who are trying to kill him. And they don't like him. They hate his message. And they want to kill him, destroy him, and remember him no more. You know, him being there bothers their conscience. They want him totally gone. And so these men of Jeremiah's own hometown say, "We've got to kill him. He's got to go." And they try to get rid of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is spared. God lets him know. He's rescued. But he's really troubled by them. I mean, he's really bothered. You know, Jeremiah says, "Lord, bring your vengeance upon them." You know, they're trying to kill him. I'm doing the right thing. I'm serving you, Lord. And all that's bringing me is trouble and people now trying to kill me. And so Jeremiah here standing for what's right and really bothered by this. I would be bothered by that, right? If people from my hometown decided I got to go and try to kill me, even though I'm trying to serve the Lord. Well, look what happens next. Chapter 12, verse 1. This is Jeremiah crying out to God. "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither? For the evil of those who dwell in it and the beasts and the birds are swept away because they say, 'He will not see our latter end.'" So Jeremiah here is really troubled. Jeremiah wants God to punish these people. He said, "Lord, I'm being punished. Things are hard. I'm trying to serve you. And it seems, Lord, like you're blessing them. And these people who don't care about you, you're taking care of them." Verse 2, "You plant them and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. Lord, help. Lord, please take care of this. This is really bad. How long are these people going to oppress and continue this evil in the land?" So he's crying out to God. He's been through a really hard thing. So now look at verses 5 and 6. This is God's response. Verse 5, "If you have raced with men on foot and they've wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you're so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They are in full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you." Now, this is not what Jeremiah wanted to hear from God. Did you see what God said to him in verse 5? If you've raced with men on foot and you got tired, how are you going to run with the horses? And if in the safe place you're so trusting, how are you going to do in the jungle of the Jordan when things are really dangerous? Now, here's the thing. I'm often surprised at how loving, merciful, calm, compassionate God is when he's speaking to people in the Old Testament. I mean, Jonah, terrible attitude, right? Jonah cares more about that plant than he does about the people of Nineveh. And God says to him, do you do well to be angry? You know, God is calm with him, patient, helping him see. Elijah goes through a really difficult thing, and God speaks gently with him through that. And so I'm constantly impressed with how God is just so merciful and compassionate, helping people through when they don't have the right attitudes. But here we see the message Jeremiah needs to hear, where God tells him something a little more difficult. And he says, "Jeremiah, it's just going to get worse. You need to get tough. You know, if you are getting tired doing this kind of thing, you haven't seen anything yet. You know, you're getting tired running with men, and you're going to have to run with horses." And so that'd be a hard thing to hear. But God tells Jeremiah, look, you're going to have to toughen up. And don't be trusting them. Did you notice that in verse 6? It's not just the people from your hometown, Jeremiah. It's even the brothers and the house of your father. And they're trying to kill you too. Don't trust them, even though they speak friendly words to you. And this really introduces the scene we're going to see in these following verses. Jeremiah is going to have to be disconnected from the connection he feels with these people. He wants to trust them. He wants to be liked by them. He wants to be a part of the people he loves. Jeremiah loves his people dearly. He prays for them. He doesn't want God to destroy them. He wants God to be merciful towards them. He loves them. But the more he preaches, the more he sees their sin. The more he preaches, he is persecuted more and more by them. And so even though he'd like to trust them, God says he can't. You can't. They may speak friendly words to you, Jeremiah, but you can't trust these people. And that's what Jeremiah is going to come to learn. Let's look at chapter 15, verses 10 through 18. And here we see more of Jeremiah's heart in the middle of this. Don't you see how we're getting to learn Jeremiah's growth and his heart and these things? Look at chapter 15, verse 10. "Woe is me, my mother, that you bore me, a man of strife and contention to the whole land. I have not lent, nor have I borrowed, yet all of them curse me. The Lord said, have I not set you free for your own good? Have I not pleaded for you before the enemy in the time of trouble and the time of distress? You don't break iron, iron from the north, and bronze. Your wealth and your treasures I will give as spoil, without price, for all your sins throughout all your territory. I will make you serve your enemies in a land that you do not know, for in my anger a fire is kindled that shall burn forever." Now we'll pause there. You see what Jeremiah is saying? In verse 10, he says, "I'm a man of strife and contention to the whole land." Now, Jeremiah knows that the message he's bringing to people makes people mad, upset. You know, they're furious at him. He doesn't like that. He doesn't want to be a troublemaker. He's not wanting to cause strife. But yet he continues to preach the Lord's message. It's kind of funny, verse 10. You see what he says there at the end of verse 10? He says, "I haven't lent, I haven't borrowed, yet all of them curse me." It's like, you know, you can understand if I was borrowing money from people and not paying them back, you know, that makes people mad at you. Or if you're lending money, right, like the mean, you know, landlord who's oppressing people, that makes people mad at you. He says, "Look, I haven't taken money, I haven't given money, and yet people are treating me bad like that. They're still cursing me." Now look what the Lord says, though, in verse 11. The Lord says, "First, Jeremiah, have I not set you free for their good?" And Jeremiah needs to remember that, yeah, even though people hate him, you're there to help them. They don't want to help. They don't want to listen. But God says, I'm having you preach here for their good. That's the potential there for them to listen so they can repent so that God can bless them. And God says, "Haven't I pleaded for you before the enemy? Can one break iron?" In other words, Jeremiah, I'm protecting you. And then verse 13 and 14 reminded the judgment is coming. I mean, I'm going to make them serve their enemies in a land that you don't know. In my anger, fire is kindled that shall burn forever. So you see that. The judgment's coming, Jeremiah. You got to preach this message. You can't back off. So look at how Jeremiah responds in verse 15, or 15 through 18. "O Lord, you know. Remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail?" Okay, see what Jeremiah is saying there to God. It says in verse 15, "Lord, remember me, help me, visit me, take vengeance." You see what they're doing. "Don't let me be destroyed. Don't let me be taken away." Verse 15, "Lord, I bear reproach for your sake." Lord, I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm doing this because you want me to. And Lord, be with me. Help me in this. Verse 16, "Lord, I love your words. Your words are found. I ate them. They were a joy to me. I'm yours, Lord." Verse 17, "I don't want to be with sinners. I don't sit in the company of revelers. I sat alone because your hand was on me. You'd fill me with indignation." You know, he's not cozying up to the sinners. He sees their sin. He hates their sin. So he's alone. He feels alone. He doesn't even want to be with them. But that's still hard. He doesn't want to do that. And in verse 18, "Lord, why is my pain unceasing? This wound incurable, refusing to be healed." And then look at the end of that verse. Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? That's where Jeremiah crosses the line. So you see that Jeremiah is bearing the reproach of the Lord. It's hard for him. It's really bothering him. And then at the end here in verse 18, you really see this bad attitude. I think it's an understandable attitude. Jeremiah, I think, probably is willing to go through a lot. We need to appreciate him for that. He probably handles these things way better than I would. But do you see kind of the self-righteousness there at the end of verse 18? Lord, are you going to be to me like a deceitful brook? You know, in the rainy season, these ravines would fill up. You know, they'd have water. But the more the dry season went, the longer it was dry, that, you know, the water runs out. And so the more you need it, because the longer the dry season's going, that's when you need there to be water in that stream, but that's when it's not going to be there, because that seasonal river is just not going to be there when you need it the most. So, Lord, are you going to be there like that? Those streams, the waters that fail when you need them the most? See, Jeremiah's kind of angry, frustrated, doubting, accusing. And so whatever it is, maybe we can put our finger on where Jeremiah has a bad attitude. What we see in the following verses is the Lord says, you're going to have to repent. The NET Bible here may translate this well. Will you let me down when I need you, like a brook one goes to for water but can't be relied on? Is that what you're going to be for me, God? Well, look how God responds in verse 19. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, Jeremiah, I'll restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. See there in verse 19, he says, Jeremiah, you have to repent. If you return to me, I'll restore you and I'll bless you and you'll stand before me. If you utter what is good, not what is worthless, then I'll let you be my mouthpiece, my prophet. I'll say this. One of the phenomenal things that we see in the Bible, I think especially in the Old Testament, is the things that people say to God are very strong. And I think they prayed and they poured out their hearts to God. You see it in the Psalms. You see it in Jeremiah. They were very honest with God. And we need to do the same. I mean, even if we realize we have a bad attitude, talk to God about that. God doesn't say, you know, you get your attitude right and then come to me. What we learn in the Bible is, come to me with your bad attitude, talk to me, and I'll help you through it. And if you need to repent of your bad attitude, well, you need to repent not because you said that to God, but because you just need to work on that attitude. And so Jeremiah brings this to God, and God says, yeah, Jeremiah, you can't talk like that. You need to change. But he says, Jeremiah, when you change, you can continue to be my prophet, and I will continue to protect you. You know, that kind of promise of protection, it seems, is for Jeremiah, as long as he's willing to be that prophet. So he rebukes Jeremiah here. He needs to come back. But God says, I will protect you, Jeremiah. I'll take care of you in these things. Final chapter. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. Jeremiah 7 through 13. This was our scripture reading for tonight. And read these verses with me again. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. O Lord, you've deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he'll be deceived, then we can overtake him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will not be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I've committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. Do you see what's going on here? Preaching has just made Jeremiah miserable, but he's not going to stop. In fact, he kind of wants to stop at times, right? Verse 9, if I say to myself, no, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to mention him anymore. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. It says there's in his heart, in his bones, like this fire. and he can't keep it in. He's got to preach. And you think about that. He knows the judgment's coming. He knows that God's wrath for their sin is coming. And so he may want to stop. But he's not going to. He's going to keep on preaching. He says, I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot. And people want to kill me. My close friends are watching for my fall. But he turns to God. He commits his cause to him. I love verse 11. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. God is with him to protect him, to be with him, and he commits his cause to the Lord. And then verse 13, he praises God. Sing to the Lord, praise him, for he's delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. And so I think we've seen growth in Jeremiah. We certainly see him go through a lot, but he's still preaching, he still speaks for the Lord, even though it's just made his life miserable. And so what are the lessons from this? Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of lessons. And the first thing I'll say is Jeremiah reminds us so much of Jesus. Or maybe I should say that the other way around. Jesus, when he comes, reminds us of Jeremiah. But just like Jeremiah, Jesus came and he boldly preached. He said what God told him to say of the coming judgment. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus did. And that's maybe why people were reminded of Jeremiah when Jesus came and preached. And so Jesus did those things, and of course Jesus told us that when we stand for him, people aren't going to like us. We can grow in boldness, like Jeremiah. Remember when Jeremiah started, Jeremiah said, I don't know what to say, I'm just a youth. And God said, it's okay, you just say what I tell you to say. And we can grow in that. We can grow in boldness and in determination and in our faith. And I hope that we can grow to be like Jeremiah in this way, where we just say, I can't hold it in. You know, sometimes I want to quit, I want to stop, but I can't. I just can't stop preaching the things that need to be said. And so we can grow to be like Jeremiah in those ways. His example is there for us. Number two, we can learn to bear reproach for the Lord. We can learn to be embarrassed for him. Be willing to stand for him in a way that's difficult, in a way that maybe even seems embarrassing or shameful. But we can do that for God and to stand for him even in difficult, shameful situations and learn to bear reproach for the Lord. And I think what we see with Jeremiah's growth is he learns to be separate from the people of this world. Even though that was painful, he also grew to say, look, I can't cozy up with them. You know, these sinful people and their ways, I can't pretend like everything's okay. It's not okay. And so I can't go to their parties and rejoice with them and just think that you know, not God's not going to bring this destruction. So he learns to be separate from the ungodly. And we see that principle in the Bible. And thankfully, God gives us a family then to be close to. Remember what Jesus said. If you follow me, if you lose, you know, family, if you lose land and property and your things, if you lose father and mother and your children, if you follow me, you're going to gain property and father and mother and children and brother and sister. And so God, in his plan, gives us people where, yes, we may lose friends, but then we gain a real family as well. And we go through that same thing then that Jeremiah did. And finally, we can trust that God is going to be with us. What a great phrase that we just see throughout the scripture from Genesis on. I'll be with you. I'll be your shield. I'll take care of you. I will be with you. And Jeremiah was specifically promised, look, you'll survive the destruction. You're faithful to me. You'll get through this. And God brought him through. We're not promised that. We're not promised, you know, God says, if you say this or do this, I'll make sure you live to whatever age. We're not given that promise at all. But God will still be with us, and he'll still take care of us, and will redeem us through these things, and ultimately bring us to his home. And that's, of course, the most important thing, is that when we stick with the Lord, he'll bring us to him, and really take care of our soul, the thing that matters the most. I hope that these thoughts are useful. There's so much to be said about Jeremiah. There might be a part two to this lesson, to see things from him. But he just is convicting and he's encouraging, and hope that we can grow to be more like him and really to be more like our Lord. If there are ways we can encourage you, if you need prayers, if you need to obey the gospel, I commend you to our Lord. He is wonderful, and He wants us to turn to Him, to put our trust in Him, and to follow Him. He's done everything for us. We just need to come to the cross. That's what we need most of all. So if we can encourage or help you in any way with spiritual things, please let us know, maybe even now, while we stand and sing a song of invitation.